Hello, I thought I'd do a quick podcast about this strange 9 meter tall Chinese sex clock. And I say it again, sex clock, which was built in the year 1088. Now, this is a podcast by Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific. In this podcast, I'll quickly cover the sex clock, because that's, I suppose, the most interesting stuff, and then I'll gradually unwrap layers of context, sort of where what book it came from and where I'm at the moment, looking at it here. So I'm just going to read this section. It's from The Discovery of Time, published in 2001, an edited book by Stuart MacCready. So there's several authors, different authors, specialised talking about different parts of time, and this is about very early clocks. Now, I'll quote from this. I can't see it, page 159. One of the most remarkable and probably the most accurate of the water clocks ever made was the 30-foot high, 9 meter heavenly clockwork, completed in AD 1088 by the Chinese Mandarin Su Sung. It had a geared connections to an automatically rotating armoury sphere, circular metal bands set in motion to reproduce the great circles of the heavens, such as the paths of the sun and the moon. There was also a procession of 96 spheres appearing one after the other in doorways, each to ring its time with bells and gongs. So you've got the picture of the actual clock, and here's a little box which describes what it was used for. So you can imagine this big clock. It's a water clock. Water is poured at the top, and a series of cups and gears and paddle wheels move, and these big discs go through the sky, through the heavens, and you can see what's happening. Now it talks here the fate of Su Sung's heavenly clockwork. Su Sung's wonderful clock was astrological. By means of rotating arbitrary sphere, it was possible to keep track of the phases of the moon independently of cloud-free weather. This produced provided palace officials with the information essential for properly orchestrating the succession of wives and concubines with whom the emperor shared his bed. It was essential that high-ranking wives should conceive the princess near the new moon, and low-ranking concubines should nourish the emperor's yang, i.e. male principle, which I suppose male sex drive, with their yin, female principle, near the full moon, when the yin was strong. I'll just continue a bit more. In 1094, which I think is about 6 years later, a new emperor came to power. Keeping the world in harmony with the heavens was a personal responsibility and personal claim to legitimacy of each of the emperors individually. So, as was customary, a new calendar and a new theoretical underpinning of the emperor's relationship with the heaven was devised. Su Sung heavenly clockwork was thrown out, along with much else of the old regime. By the time the Jesuit missionaries arrived in China 5 centuries later, Su Sung's machine had been utterly forgotten, and they were wondrous. I'll just paraphrase. They were wondrous about the Jesuit clocks. So, one of the things I want to say on just unwrap this in certain points. One of the views I see is these large organizations. Like the Chinese dynasties, tend to really pull up scientific creativity, as in terms of this 9 meter high water clock. But the actual foundations for going forward is rather strange. So it got involved in the emperor's view of their role in the cosmos, and it involved with him going to bed with a large number of different women, produce heirs, and just satisfy his needs. And so, with that sort of strange underpinning, the large uniform organization, the ideas were brought up, the creativity was fostered, brought forward, probably well in advance. If when you compared to what was happening in England at this time, people were. There was just the Norman Conquest, 1066, just around that this time. So this is pretty advanced stuff. But this advanced stuff, which is nurtured by a central system, is also discarded. Whereas Europe was far more fragmented, and so the fragmentation meant that the information of the ideas, even though they weren't as well kept, was actually held in a separate section. So that's one viewer. Unwrapping another unskin, or another thing, is sort of the strange thing I have, that I tend to get books and read them right through, and take book, you know, see an interesting book in someone's shelves. In this case, I borrowed it. And the interesting thing is this book called The Discovery of Time. The actual person who owns the book has never had the time to actually read The Discovery of Time. But also, I find that sort of the standalone scholarship, so there's lots of books that I just pick up and read, like Spartan Kings, The Diary of William Dampier, these things where you really read, or Life and History of Newton, or various other scientists you read in great detail. And the strange thing is that although the book's there in the library and lots of people have read it, very few people have actually gone through it and really thought about every aspect of it and actually stuck it together. So if you speak to them, that yes, they do have, say, some knowledge of Bruno or these other weird people, but it's not put together as a case consistent story, which sort of tells me a little bit of the age that we live in, as the Chinese back then lived in an age where the creativity was dominated by a central power and everyone worked to it, and the creativity was great and it was lost. We're sort of living in a similar age where it's sort of chaotic, but people around the place don't really read into things. Now, the other thing, I suppose, the other onion skin is my cardiac rehabilitation. I know, you know, you've heard about it. Now, what it means is that I'm here waiting for my son, who's on a scout walk, and of course my heart rehabilitation is going well, but I still can't go on a walk, so I'm sort of left to sit in a tarago. It's nice, quite beautiful podcasting case, and again, I suppose from that time, it's beautiful with this my cardiac condition that's actually making me sleepy so I sort of can work for a few hours or read a chapter of a book before I feel sleepy, and really, it's really quite good because I think about something and then drift off to sleep, feeling tired after a while. So it is interesting to me that when you actually read this book on time, you can see that people are really obsessed with time, or the many different aspects. Looking here, how people handle time differently, and I'm forced to handle time differently now, and it leads to a far more contemplative view of the world than if you are constantly looking at your watch and meeting appointments. You never get time to think. So it's one of these amazing, I suppose, plus points for having this cardiac condition. Now, I suppose the final onion skin, or the final wrapping, is why I'm doing podcasts. Now, I've been a teacher, and one of the things when you get back into the classroom, there's sort of this, I suppose, political resistance of letting you back into the classroom, especially if you've been sick. And you know that you have to get in and speak and convey ideas fairly quickly. And so that's what I've been doing, is I've just been gradually podcasting, increasing my speed and accuracy of speaking. And I suppose as I listen to myself, I say, look, I'm going to add some more bazang. So I listen to some of the great podcasters. And I say, oh, look, they've got so much personality. And so as I gradually improve in putting together sentences and ideas, say, well, look, there's new areas I want to improve. I want to add some more excitement and structure. And so in this one, I hope I've done that a little bit by adding some information. And look, if I can recommend for you reading this book called The Discovery of Time and taking some time to do it and contemplating, there's a lot of very interesting points built up in layers, or interesting patterns to observe. But in general, reading books, and if you do read into books, you'll observe that there's this strange psychology where people just can't really get into things actually question it. There's sort of this superficial processing of information. It's not, well, it is, that's the actual thing. They process information rather than let it sit and contemplate it. Well, thanks for listening, and in the meantime, keep on doing science.